Black Friday to you. Bay Ragney here, Total Gym Radio Rocks. That's right, hashtag TDR Rocks, with a special episode on this Black Friday afternoon for you with the one and only our good friend, Mr. Bernie Torman. That's right, he's back. New music, new album came out last Friday. It's called Shadowland. You can get it now. Go to Bernie's official website. That's BernieTormanOfficial.com, and you can get it. It's available on all the streaming services, as well as all your favorite downloadable places. So go and get it. And especially after you hear our conversation. And I'm going to play the single off it as well at the end of the interview. But I got to talk to Bernie the other day. And it's first off, it's always a pleasure to talk to Bernie. And we had such a great conversation. We got to talk about him and Ozzy reconnecting after 30 plus years when he saw Ozzy over the summer at the Sweden Rock Festival. We also talked about him joining LA Guns on stage and him reconnecting with Mr. Phil Lewis. That was actually about a year ago over in England. And we talked about the new album and Bernie conquering Pledge Music, getting 514% of his goal, which is just absolutely amazing. So we talked about all these things and more. And just tune into this. Just listen. Because Bernie's a great guy. And after listening to this interview, I'm sure you're going to love Bernie. So, and that's before you even hit play on any of his music. But do that as well. Follow him. Like him. Subscribe to him. Just do it. So, anyway, here he is. The one and only Mr. Bernie Torman.
Hello, Clay. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm good, yeah. I'm good. I'm glad I got on. I've just had a total battle in terms of Skype because they changed it. I used it a week ago, and it was completely different, and it was like log in here and log in there and go. I got there then.
They're doing all these updates and upgrades on us, and yeah.
I hate it, you know. It's the only thing that needs updating and upgrading is me, really. So it's
oh, come on now. You're always updated.
Yeah.
So you've had a busy, interesting – we haven't talked in a while, but you've had a lot of interesting things happen since the last time we talked. Not only
yep. –
new music yep. and all that, but reconnect with Mr. Osborne.
Yeah, that's right. That was really nice. You know,
were you expecting to see him there, or it was just a total surprise the whole thing happened?
I knew he was playing. I mean, you know, I was playing in a different part of the festival and a different stage.
Okay.
And I knew I was playing on the same day. I mean, you know, the thing is, it's often really hard, you know, to connect at these festivals now because they're really enormous. And, you know, it's if you play on one stage, you can't even approach another stage, you know, because of the security, you know. So I was hoping to. And it had, you know, it had to be passed on, you know, kind of on, you know, Chinese whispers almost, you know, you know, can I possibly talk to the stage manager, and can I possibly talk to his tour manager? And then, you know, can I talk to Oz? And it was like, yeah, I mean, everyone else was hard. He was easy, you know.
Oh, wow. So, you know, it's kind of hard to believe, too. I mean, it's been over 3 decades since you guys have seen each other.
Yeah. I mean, the last time I saw him a couple of times after I played with him, I saw him in Liverpool and I saw him a couple of times in London. But it was, you know, probably in the early 80s to mid 80s, and it's been a long time, man. It's been a long time. And it was, you know, it was so nice because seeing him again, it was as if no time had passed at all. You know, it's, you know, there are people in your life who, you know, even if you don't see him and you see him again, it's like, oh, Bernie, are you living now? And I was like, no, I'm playing here, Oz. You know, it was just like, yeah, it was great. It was really nice.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. Now, the thing that's really, like, that was really mind-blowing to me, too, like, the whole thing with Zach Wilde, where you got to meet him as well, but, I mean, he got the chance to actually see one of the handfuls of shows that you actually played with Ozzy.
That's exactly right. I was, you know, he apparently was, like, keen to talk to me, and I was keen to talk to him. So we spent about, you know, a quarter of an hour trying to find each other. And, you know, he came out, he was saying, you know, oh, yeah, you know, I really like your playing, and, you know, you're one of my heroes. Can I take a picture with you? And I'm just saying, what? I'm one of your heroes? That's the strangest thing I've ever heard, you know, because you're actually one of my heroes. So it kind of, you know, it dragged on, and I said, Zach, did you ever see Randy play? And he said, no, I bought a ticket, but I saw you. I'm just kind of going, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. And he's like, no, it was brilliant. It was brilliant. You know? It was great. It was a big ego boost, you know, to be honest, for me.
That is awesome. Yeah, I mean, that, like, what's the chances? You know what I mean? Like, a kid in the crowd seeing Ozzy ends up playing with Ozzy all those years later.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, he was going on, oh, you came on Over the Mountain. You killed it. You fucking killed it. Excuse me for the wrench. But it was, you know, yeah, it's incredible. Because he was only, I think, 14 or 15 years old.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he was a kid, you know. So, yeah. Crazy.
I mean, Bernie, you've left a mark on many of us kids over the years that have grown up into adults. Some have become guitar players with Ozzy and some haven't, but you have left your mark on a lot of us.
Well, I hope it's a good mark. That's all I can say.
Now, did I see too, like, as I was scrolling through Facebook, it looked like you had written a letter of recommendation for Ozzy to be knighted?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I think the only people who were in his band have been Zach and me. So, yeah.
Wow.
I think he deserves it. You know, I mean, he's a legend. He's, sure. You know, he's a legend and he's a lovely guy. So, you know, and he's done an awful lot of, you know, charitable work over here. So, you know, yeah, knight him.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm surprised they didn't, or even Zach say, hey, why don't you come up and do like Flying High Again or something like that?
Well, Zach said, yeah, I'm going to put you at the side of the stage. And it kind of, I said, yeah, that's awesome. So it kind of came to the tour manager and he said, no, you're not going at the side of the stage. You're going front of house. And I think Zach, you know, was hoping that I would strum his guitar or something like that. I'm not really sure, you know. But, yeah. It never happened because, you know, he wasn't able to get to me and I wasn't able to get to him, you know. I wouldn't have kind of gone up and said, hey, man, you're doing that wrong. You
know? let me show you how to do it the right way. Oh, that's funny. Now, you also you got to actually go on stage and rejoin an old mate of yours, Mr. Phil Lewis, with LA Guns, too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That was lovely, too. It was a great night. Yeah. Yeah, I had a great time. I mean, I hadn't seen Phillips since, I think, probably 1986, 1987. Ooh. I mean, we have talked, only it just has never happened, you know. And it was, it was great. I really enjoyed it. Great band. And, I mean, he was singing great too, as was Aussie, actually. I mean, Aussie was amazing the time I was at Fulham, you know, so yeah.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Yeah, I was so excited when I saw that when you got to join Phil on stage and all. Now, did you have you ever met Tracy Guns before that? Or
no, I never have. I never have. And he was a lovely, lovely guy. And, you know, we had a real laugh together. You know, he was kind of saying, oh, we'll play a joint solo. And I said, I can't play what you play. No, I don't even know it. You know, so, you know, if you want to play what I play, but I, you know, I don't actually have any idea what I play until I play it. So it's... It never happened, and you know he was awfully gentlemanly about it, and just you know, said, "Oh, you play, man," you know. So that's great.
Now, the thing that crossed my mind too with that whole situation there, like I thought to myself, I wonder what you would say, because you know how there's always that rotating door of guitarist in LA Guns, and recently have you gone through like two more in the last year.
I know, that's right, yeah, yeah.
What if Phil said to you, hey, Bernie, like, would you like to do a tour with us in the UK or something? Would you play with us for, you know, a little bit?
Of course I would, yeah. I love Phil and Tracy and all the guys in the band are great, and a great band. Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, but I don't think I'll be asked.
Never say never, Bernie. Never say never.
Yeah, I'll jump at it. I'll jump at it.
Oh, that would be awesome. So, Shadowland, it's out. And you used Pledge Music again. And you might have set a record on Pledge Music. Has anybody got 514% of their goal before?
Yeah, I think they have. In fact, I think Ginger Wildheart at the beginning got 55%, so I'm still trailing. I think I'm a pretty good second, but you know, I'm
that's amazing. I mean, and you like reached your goal, I think, in what, the first 24 hours?
Yeah, yeah, I did. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, to be honest, I always aim at, you know, the least I need. So, I mean, as it piled on, you know, it enabled me to spend more time on it and just, you know, have Colin Towns on it and have, yeah, it was, you know, it just enabled it to be a better album, I think, you know.
That's awesome.
I'm still not rich.
But you did a double album this time. You know, I've been requesting a quadruple one that we're not going to.
I don't think that'll happen. I tell you, the double nearly killed me. It was 6 months, really. It was just, I was tearing my hair out. I was thinking, you know, have I enough songs, you know, and yeah, I mean, it was hard. I mean, just about every other album that I've done recently, I've had, you know, a backlog of songs. And, you know, it's been, you know, even on, say, Flowers and Dirt, I had probably about eight old songs. I arrived at Shadowland and I only had two. So it was, you know, 13 songs I had to complete and write and record. So that was a big mountain for me, really, I've got to say, you know.
Now, as I go through and I've been listening to it over the last few days, I mean, there's one song on there. Is it the longest song you ever recorded? The Innovative Jam, 14 minutes long?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. It was brave doing that, I'll tell you.
So you were pulling your hair out, coming up with material, and you're like, ah, let's do a 14-minute song.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, it didn't start out as a 14-minute song, actually. It kind of – because I had this project on Pledge, and Pledge Music loved it. I, you know, Why don't I have pledges? Because an awful lot of the people who pledge for me are players, you know? So why don't I offer them a chance to play on the record, on a track? So they said, yeah, that's a great idea. Well, that's a really great idea. So I kind of thought, am I biting off a little more than I can chew here? So at the point I suggested it, I didn't have that song at all. So I wrote it and I thought, well, how am I planning on doing it? And I thought I'll have, a jam part that is just, revolving around an E, and I'll have a turnaround on, the end of it that's pretty kind of chordally complex. So I was then thinking, how am I going to get them to play on it? So I thought I'll give them 32 bars and the turnaround, and I'll say, play on 16 of the bars and on the turnaround, if you want to, or play on chords on it. And at the very end of the track, after it all, start to go out, I just said, play everything you know. So I ended up with, there was nine people, I think, who were brave enough to do it. And it was amazing. They all played in different places. So I was able, to patch it. I was able to double up one of the jam pieces and a turnaround and patch it all together. And it all sat in, and I didn't have to leave any parts out at all. And at the end, everyone went crazy. And it's, like the end of the world, really, with everyone going all at the same time. It was a real challenge, because it took probably a day and a half to piece it all together. And then it took 3 days to mix. So it was a big project. But, again, I don't know of anyone else who's tried it. And it turned out great, I think. I love it, It's completely different to anything else I've ever done. And it was a real experience,
Yeah, it came out really good. Now that you're saying that, I remember when you were doing that, you had mentioned that you were going to do that for a song. And I didn't realize, come in my mind that was the song that you did it on. And that
is, that's right.
It makes sense. Okay, so... But that's awesome, though. I mean, that's an amazing experience for those nine people to be part of that.
Yeah, it is. And again, I had, moments of terror, as I was, sending everything out and kind of expecting everything in, because I was just hoping, I hope they can all play. I hope everything's in tune. But they were all great. I mean, they were really, really, really great. So it was a lovely democratic experience, because it was, they were, same as I was, just playing on a track, which is great,
Yeah, see, if that was me, if I were to submit it my track, it would have most likely been out of tune and horrible. And
I don't believe that.
Bay, this is not going to work. I'm sorry. You take your money back. Oh, boy. But now, the last song too, A Farewell to Arms, and yeah. The second part of the title I can't even pronounce.
Well,
I had to Google it and see what it means.
Come on, Leshan Kuga. It's Gaelic. It's Irish. Yeah,
and it means survive the war.
Yeah, it means goodbye to the war.
Goodbye to the war. So the question I'm asking myself now is, you got this tour coming up that you're starting in a few days. It's called The Final Fling. Goodbye to the war. Is the war the music business in your music career? Or is this a goodbye, Bernie? I'm a little scared, Bernie.
Yeah, it kind of is a goodbye to how I've been doing it. I mean, I've been touring in the UK since 1975. That's a long time, and here it's got really bad and hard, you know. Thousands of places have closed. It's a changed kind of an industry. I love playing, but, you know, here now, if you're planning a tour, you honestly have to book it up just about a year beforehand. I mean, that's in clubs, you know. It's just crazy, you know. And I kind of find that a pretty kind of destructive way of enjoying it, shall we say. I mean, I would always intend to keep on playing, but I don't intend to keep on doing UK club tours. Having said that, I can't say if in, you know, 2-3 years time, I, you know, wake up and say, I really want to do a club tour in the UK again. But for now, I've had enough of that, you know. I mean, festivals and, you know, places in Europe, even places in the US, if anyone would have me, you know. But the UK, I've had enough of, you know. It's really, you know, the thing is that, you know, anyone who's even been slightly interested in seeing me play has probably seen me play 10 times by now, you know. I'd rather do it and have, you know, 2 or 3 shows that are on a decent level and well promoted, rather than have the battle of clubs.
But are these shows drawing at all? Or is it just everything is down?
Okay. I mean, I draw, you know, but it isn't, you know, enormous amounts. But, you know, the promoters are always happy. I mean, the problem is that, you know, they don't have enough bands who draw. So they're always on the edge of closing up, and gradually each year more people close, you know, because they may have, I don't know, you know, 40 bands, 60 bands who draw, but they have, you know, an awful lot of other bands who don't. And it's hard being a promoter, I think, you know, so you're kind of, you know, it's a battle for them too, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's I actually I dipped my toe in that water here more last year. I did a handful of shows last year, and it was not like this area. Just, I don't know, the way I'm looking at it here in this area, where there's been a lot of clubs closing.
Yeah,
other clubs that are trying to give like original bands a shot, and then it ends up being like 4 or 5 same genre style bands playing the same night. That small crowd of fans in this area are now split, and they're divided up to go see whoever their closest friends are in these bands. And yeah. it's just killed the club scene, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, also over here, we had, for the past, I suppose, 20 years, tribute bands. And the tribute bands, initially did, a lot of business. And it's just died now. Yeah. Because they're playing to a demographic that is, an old demographic largely. Mm-hmm. And after a period of time, it gets boring. You can have Zepp tribute band, only it isn't Zeppelin, and it just isn't, the real deal, to be honest, and it is hard on everybody, and I'm not complaining about, them, only it has largely destroyed original music, I was definitely over the past few years one of the main, people who was going out playing basically original music over here in clubs. I have my kids have a band, the gang, and they play all original, and they basically, they are able to go out and tour because it's a different demographic and it's different clubs, and again, they go out and tour and play with an awful lot of young American bands, Wand and Chastity Belt and various other bands, and it's a kind of a completely different area, to me. And it's sad, I think, because, when I started out playing back in the 60s, it was a blend of things, you could have, a heavy band and a folk band and a solo artist and all of that, and all of that has changed, I think it's a sad thing, because I don't think anyone is, monochromatic in terms of music tastes. I mean, even in the 80s, when I did the Electric Gypsies band, we always had a guy on before us who was who just played acoustic and kind of sang crazy songs, and the audience loved it, But it's all become awfully, monotone now, I think,
The one thing it seems like to me too, in this area at least, a lot of friends of mine that I've known for years that have played in original bands, it seems they've now gotten kind of frustrated because the tribute bands have been such a, like you said, like a draw at one point, and now they all started doing tribute bands. And I mean, this immediate area here, there's at least four, if not five, Iron Maiden tribute bands. There's three AC/DC tribute bands. I mean, it's insane. And they're not really drawing. They were at one point, but not now.
Yeah, it's changed, yeah. Well, I was, off at a tangent, I actually saw a few years ago that there was Dylan tribute band in Japan. I saw a couple of clips of them on YouTube. It was really great. you know, it was a laugh. And I really kind of appreciated them doing it, because who'd be in it? You know, a tribute band that not an awful lot of people actually know about, you know. It's
it was cool.
And the guy who was playing bass had a plastic thing on his head, so he looked bald like McCoy.
Oh, that's funny. Speaking of Gillan, I saw you like dug up some old tour jackets and stuff for the Pledge Music.
Yeah, well, yeah. Actually, it was Colin Towns who had them.
Oh, okay.
He had them in his loft. I didn't have them, so he kind of said to me, because I see him often enough. He lives close.
Okay.
And he said, "Do you want them for a pledge?" And I said, "Yeah, you know, great, you know." And I was kind of saying, "Do you want to be paid?" And he said, "No, just take them. You know, I'm never going to wear them again." You know, so he gave them to me. I mean, the thing is, Colin is a small dude. He's small. And they were so tiny, you know, kind of like this. I don't know how anyone would be able, you know, even looking at him now, he isn't enormous, but, you know, these were like, my God, they were so small.
Like child size.
Yeah. You're definitely, you know.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny. And I saw, too, you had a... the Diary of a Madman, like tour sticker, backstage.
Yeah. That was. I mean, I love all of these things. Only at the end of the day, it's all in your head, you know. I mean, I have all of the memories. I don't need all of the pieces of paper, really. You know. I mean, if you had the life I had, I mean, I've just got innumerable pieces of memorabilia because it's just packed away. I don't actually even like look at it. So it was a way of cleaning up, really.
That's what I was wondering too. Like, I was wondering, do you have a lot of this stuff on display, or do you have it packed away? And is this a way to clean up?
Well, it is. Yeah. I mean, I have, you know, in the studio, I have things on display. But, I mean, you know, again, I have, you know, boxes and boxes and boxes that I never display. I don't even know what's in them, you know. So I kind of like go in and, oh, here's a test pressing of, you know, turn out the lights or whatever. And I just have like masses of that, you know. And it's, to me, it's just, I don't know. It was, you know, I had to have a tester pressing at the time because I had to take it home and play it and check it was okay. So I haven't ever played it since, you know. I've got, you know, acetates of everything I've ever done, you know, and you play them once, it's okay. And that's it. And I just ended up with, you know, I mean, literally kind of skip loads of it, you know. It's and I kind of, you know, I have I enjoy traveling light, you know. I have too many guitars too, you know. It's just like you end up with, you know, I don't know, 20 30 of them, and you think, how did that happen? You know, because, you know, I only play, you know, two or three, you know, so it's mad.
Yeah, but there's such they're so beautiful. Yeah, like you want to have them.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, like, you know, I have all of the old ones I had. I hardly ever play them though now, because I can't, you know, take them out, because how do you take out a 62 Strat and a 63 in clubs. You can't, you know, because it's, you know, it just isn't safe enough, and I can't insure them. I mean, it'd be too expensive, you know. So it's there they are, you know. My babies, you know.
So, but in other words, like, now you didn't say if this is going to be like the last album or not, but it sounds like you still have a lot more stuff to do, more Pledge Music campaigns for it.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely hope to carry on recording. I probably have to have a break after, because, you know, I did, you know, a double album, a single album, a triple album, and now a double album. And that's in 4 years. So it's a break is needed, I think, you know. I have a plan to write a book, but it's a plan. I can't kind of say it'll actually happen, but I hope it'll happen if I'm able to kind of... you know, because everyone who's been in the business a long time has tons of stories. So I've always enjoyed, like, you know, all of the absurd things that have happened to me, really, or happened around me. So, yeah. And I also have, I think it's an 8-camera video of... Queen Rock, so, you know, and it was an hour set, so I have to kind of and it's, you know, 32 track audio, so it's I have to edit it and try and jam it out, I think, you know, too. So I mean, I'll possibly do a Pledge thing on one of those, or even both of them, I don't know. But the next album is probably a couple of years away, I think.
How about a documentary about yourself?
I don't know if anyone would kind of be that interested in me. Well, yeah, I'll be happy to do that, but you know, oddly enough, I don't really enjoy kind of talking about me. I mean, it's obviously this interview is an exception, babe, you know. But I don't know. I kind of I'm a tiny bit intimidated about a documentary, but, you know, who knows? If anyone approached me, I'd probably say yes.
Because I was, you know, as I listened to Shadow Lamb, and then I, like, and I was like, saying, you know, about a Farewell to Arms and Goodbye to the War and all, like, it's got like the last two songs, the Innovative Jam and that, they both have a sad tone to it. So I'm thinking to myself, is this Bernie really saying goodbye to us? Is this, you know what I mean?
Well, I kind of, yeah. I mean, it is on one level, because I don't think I can, you know, I mean, actually, I don't think I can physically carry on the way I have. It's, you know, age catches up on you, and the kind of, you know, the aches and pains and the ability to do what I've, you know, always tried to on stage, you know, it changes, you know. I, you know, look at old clips of how I played, and I don't think I'm as kind of dynamic now as I was then. So I'd rather kind of lay off a, you know, as much as I can, and, you know, preserve the mystique, as it were.
Well, I don't know. I somehow, some way, we got to get you here to the US at some point.
I'd love to, you know, because I mean, I have so many friends and fans out there. You know, the problem is that they're spread all across the US. You know, it isn't as if I could, you know, go to New York or wherever and have, you know, 300 people turn up. That's not going to happen because, like, you know, they're all the way across America, really. So it's and it's a big ass country, you know. So yeah, I hope it happens, you know, because I'd love to. Canada too, you know. I've got loads of fans in Canada. It's yeah.
Yeah, somehow, some way.
Yeah, yeah.
I know Kyoko would definitely be. She might be at all the shows.
Hmm.
I know Kyoko would probably be at all the shows.
I think she would. Yes, he's coming over here to go to shows. You know, which is so nice. I mean, you know, what a fan! Amazing. You know, love. Yeah,
she's amazing. She is amazing.
Yeah,
that's great. So, Shadowland, it's out. Everybody can get it. It's available. No more through Pledge Music, though, right? They have to go to the website.
No, it isn't. It's on Bandcamp and Amazon, though I think it's only Amazon UK. I mean, hopefully it'll be on Amazon in the US too. I mean, it's obviously on, you know, iTunes and Amazon downloads and Spotify and all of those, you know, diabolical outlets. You know, I'm old school. I like a kind of an object, like a CD or a vinyl. But it's changed.
I was just going to ask you about that. What were your thoughts on Spotify?
I mean, it's, you know, as a listener, it's great. You know, I mean, it's not exactly paying an awful lot, but then again, it's paying an awful lot more than YouTube is. So, you know, I mean, obviously, if you're, you know, Beyonce or Jay-Z and you have millions of plays, it's probably not too bad, you know. But I don't know, you know. You can't be a Luddite, you know. Times change. And, you know, unlike, say, Napster, who didn't pay anything at all, they are paying a bit, you know. So perhaps it'll improve, you know.
Yeah, I was. It's funny because I was for the longest time like against, and I would not like convert to the whole Spotify world. And my friend, he's like, I'm telling you, just do it. You're gonna love it. And then I finally signed up, and I'm like, you know what? Like from a music fan standpoint, this is the greatest thing ever.
It definitely is. I agree. I mean. Yeah. You know, I kind of go on it in every band I want to hear and people I want to check out, all there. I just hope that they are being paid something and it isn't the record companies copying it all. Because the record companies are happy about it, you know, because it's, you know, they have all of these legacy albums on contracts that they don't have to pay any of the royalty across, you know. So it's or if they do, it's only, you know, 10% of the amount. I mean, if you have, you know, a Beatles on it or a Purple on it or any of those bands, it's millions of plays, you know. So the record companies are copping, you know, tens of thousands out of it, and the bands are probably having, you know, I don't know, $2 every Christmas. I don't really know.
A cup of coffee if they're lucky.
Yeah.
Wow. And I didn't realize. So, but Spotify, in you're saying, pays better than YouTube?
Yeah, yeah. YouTube basically does not pay really anything at all, you know, and it's, yeah, YouTube is the worst of all of them.
Wow. So they've really changed their paying platform.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you you know, sign on to you are able to sign on and have them check everyone who's uploaded your track. Only the problem is, you know, if you're kind of a relatively little artist, you know, it's, I don't know, it's about $10 per track per year. So if you have a 10-track album, it's $100 a year. And, you know, the royalties generally don't really generate that much, you know. So it's like, you know, I mean, it's, you know, 0.00001 of a cent, you know. So it's, you have to have an awful lot of plays, you know. It's crazy. It is crazy, you know.
Wow. Yeah, it's definitely all changed.
You know, tough on all the bands, yeah.
For sure, for sure. Well, Bernie, this is always love talking to you. So glad we got to catch up again.
Yeah, great. Bay, I really enjoyed it. A good chat.
Absolutely. And I'm enjoying the album. And
thank you.
I hope we get to we talk again. Right, so you have to create something just so we can talk again.
Well, you know, that changes everything.
See that? You know, here's what you got to do, and I'm not even going to request a quadruple album because I'll give you a little break. But how about
It may take a long time, babe. It may take a long.
How about an album where you have some of your old friends, like guest vocals, like a Phil Lewis or a Dee Snider?
Yeah. That's a great idea. That's a great idea. That's but I better ask. Yeah, it'd be nice, actually.
It's funny, when I met Dee earlier this year, and because I had tweeted him a few times and you together with about the quadruple album, as soon as I said that, he started laughing. He's like, I know you.
I love Dee. I mean, he's, you know.
Too funny. Yeah. So, all right, Bernie. Well, thank you again, and congrats on the new album. And everybody needs to check it out. Shadowland, buy it. If you're going to stream it like 24 hours a day. Get the play.
Yes. So I can buy a coffee.
There you go. Bernie's going to treat on coffee. That's going to be the next pledge. Have coffee with Bernie. Bernie, again, thank you so much. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Cheers, babe. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Pleasure to. Around the world, microchipping TV.
Johnny Torme with Come the Revolution, the first single off the Chatelaine album. I hope you like it. I hope you like the interview. I know I loved it. Love talking to Bernie. So anyway, make sure you go check him out, BernieTormeOfficial.com, to get all the info, well, not only on Bernie, but you can also order a copy of Chatelaine. It's out now. Do it. Get it. You don't know when there's going to be another. This could be the last one. So you better get it now while you can. So, all right, thanks again for everybody. Actually, thank you for Bernie for being a guest, as always. Thank you to Kyoko. I know Kyoko's tuning in to hear Bernie. And actually, Kyoko's on her way right now to go to England. She's going to two of Bernie's last shows on his Final Fling tour. So that's super freaking cool. So excited for her. And, yeah, so there you go. So make sure, again, BernieTormeOfficial.com. And look for us, Totally Driven Entertainment and Totally Driven Radio, all over the world of social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Or look for me, Bay Ragney. And until next time, we'll be back next week. I hope everybody had an amazing Thanksgiving. I hope everybody's wallet is still filled after this Black Friday. And, yeah, stay driven, everybody. See ya.